Well, my guest in the studio, when not touring with Australian singer-songwriter Pete Murray, he leads his own original jazz piano trio and also conducts orchestras and composes new classical music. He plays old analogue synthesizers and even rock guitar. Originally from Perth, but now based here in Sydney and about to launch his second trio album for Jazz Groove Records, Tom O'Halloran, welcome to Now's the Time.
Thanks a lot.
Tom, the last time I saw you perform, you were performing solo at the Basement. You were an opening act, and I arrived about halfway through your first tune, and there was absolute silence at the Basement, which is a rarity. You certainly had the audience 100% captivated during that set, and it was a beautiful set. From a jazz perspective, how do you prefer working with a trio, solo, or a larger group?
Well, thanks a lot. Thanks for your compliments. That was a great night for Richard McGrath's CD launch. And, I was very honoured to play there. And I guess, especially when playing solo, I think the environment has a lot to do with it. And certainly down at the Basement, I think, is, with a lovely listening audience, they were very generous. And but it's not without its challenges. I think certainly I find solo piano music to be quite a lot harder than a trio jazz, only because probably I feel for my style, I think I feel like I have to prepare a lot more, and often that's a lot more hours at the piano working out specific arrangements. You know, like if the sort of solo pianists that I really like Oscar Peterson and Bill Evans and Chick Corea and those kind of guys, really, I think, really worked at that craft and spent a lot of time, and they really saw it as a different thing. And while a lot of them do get up and just improvise, so like Keith as well, and playing solo, but I think within the jazz piano tradition, I think it's sort of recognised as a certain craft all on its own, almost like a different discipline, and it's pretty challenging and pretty daunting for most of us, I can guarantee.
Tell us about how you came across jazz growing up in Perth. Did you have a musical family, or?
Well, I do. Subsequently, now I now know that I do have a very musical family. The family that I was brought up in wasn't particularly musical, but was fostered very, very well from a young age, and certainly, the countless hours that I spent making my mum repeat her nursery rhymes that she was playing to me on the piano, and then subsequently graduating from that to bashing on the piano myself, and then getting thrown off to lessons. I think it was all very positive, musical, affirming experience, and I think I knew I was hooked from a very early age, and it was probably what I was best at doing through school. And got into, always played classical piano, and then through high school got right into guitar, electric guitar. And
so you came through rock first to find jazz?
Probably, yeah. I think so. It didn't last too long on that kind of front when I heard like Chick Corea and Oscar Peterson and those kind of guys. And then towards the end of high school, it was a bit of a crossroads because I knew I wanted to go study jazz, but just wasn't completely sure what instrument I was going to do it on. Ended up going with piano, and I think that was my instrument.
No regrets.
But I still love picking up guitar, and
especially when there's people like James Muller in the country now.
It does make it a little bit more difficult to be convincing at it.
So what attracted you to Sydney?
Well, I'd made a few trips to Sydney through when I was studying at WAPA, the conservatorium, with the likes of Graham Lyle and those guys who brought us across with like the youth jazz orchestra and things like that. And I'd also, towards the end of the conservatorium, I kind of branched back into the classical thing a little bit, and studied some conducting and to a few of the Symphony Australia workshops over here. I sort of wanted to pursue the composing side of things about 4 years ago. I thought time's right to sort of want to figure out what all that is about, that music that I really love, and see if the composing hat fits. And so decided to make a journey across here to study at the conservatorium to enrol in my master's, because I thought the course kind of looked really good here and seemed like the mecca of contemporary Australian music, and with a lot of great composers living here. Besides, everyone from Perth always goes to Melbourne. So I decided to break the tradition a little.
I now know that you were at the Brad Mehldau concert.
It was an extraordinary evening, wasn't it? I mean, the night that I was there, the Wednesday night, it was jam-packed. And the sense of expectation through the musician scene, I think, from the week previous was a good testament to how intense the music was. And I learned so much from watching him. So much just about playing the piano, and but also, that kind of New York thing, and the way they achieved intensity in the music in the trio format was so understated, but because I don't think they didn't do it with volume, you know, they didn't they didn't bash away and achieve that intensity with you know, which going down that road, which, you know, so much jazz has done, and you know, we're all guilty of doing that, I think, a little. And it became really clear to me that night that they really did that in a subtle way, in a restrained way, but sort of in a new way, I reckon. And of course, you know, his facility at the piano was breathtaking, really. I mean, what he can do with his left hand. And
for whatever reason, I kept on hearing Monk in his music. I don't really know why, but I've subsequently read a piece where he mentioned to someone years ago that he was heavily influenced by Monk.
Right.
But I hadn't heard of that before until I read this, and that must explain why I heard that, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Now you mention it, you know, it comes apparent to me too, but I didn't know that. But because the first thing I heard of him was the first thing that I really, really pricked my ears, I think, was the solo concert in Japan. I don't know if you've heard that one, but that was the first thing that really grabbed my ear from Brad, and I heard echoes of that in some of his cadenzas and stuff that he did at the end of his pieces. But yeah, I can hear a bit of Monk in there too now you mention it.
We Happy Few. Tell us the background to the title, We Happy Few.
Well, it's a little bit of a darker album than the previous one, and it's taken from one of the soliloquies from Henry V by Shakespeare, and that particular soliloquy kind of deals with themes of brotherhood and spontaneity and war and conflict and courage. Sort of felt like that was a little bit of a microcosm for playing music and interactive music and with guys that you really, really love.
So bringing those values through
into the
music.
Bringing those values together, yeah. And I think it can, you know, can sort of be taken in a literal way. It can also be in a light way or in a heavy way, and could be sort of ironic. Sort of leaves the door open a little bit to, you know, to the listener's interpretation and what they like to hear out of it.
My guest in the studio tonight is the pianist Tom O'Halloran. Tone poem?
Yeah, sort of just a bit of an attempt to get a little bit outside and utilise all the chromatic pitches in a sort of jazz context.
Tom, thanks very much for joining us in the
studio.
Thanks
a lot, Frank. My absolute pleasure.